Welcome to Paradigm Shifters, everyone. We've got a paradigm shifter par excellence here today, and it's Brent Michael Phillips, who he kind of wandered off his reality, his health, and so on, and came out with a lot of quantum information. And he's written a book called The Formula for Miracles, and I'm so excited to talk to you, Brent. Welcome to the show.
Oh, this is great. I'm excited to be here. This is awesome.
It's just great for me, too, because going through your book, I've been sitting here trying to get this, the quantum physics worked out. I'm a pretty good healer myself, but trying to kind of piece it all together in terms of what each thing means. Do you want to give people a quick encapsulation of what took you from being a really successful MIT kind of engineer, a software engineer kind of guy, or explorer of engineering in the electronics field and so on, and all of a sudden your whole life took, I guess, what we could call a quantum leap, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty crazy that I will admit to everybody, I never thought I'd be doing anything like this. Oh my gosh, right? To be a professional healer, teaching people spiritual healing, higher consciousness, intuition, not even on my radar, because I'm a nerd. I'm a huge geek, an engineer. Growing up, I loved video games and Dungeons and Dragons and Star Trek, right?
Nice.
And Lord of the Rings. And I got my degrees in computer science and electrical engineering. And when
industrial engineering, right? Oh, computer science. Yeah, okay.
Electrical engineering and computer science. Mm-hmm. Well, at least at MIT, it's the same degree.
Okay.
The same program. So I went to MIT, got my undergraduate, and I was got my master's, and I was working on my PhD. But that's when opportunity showed up, because in 1994, it was me and a couple guys from my group. We had sent the first ever live audio and video stream over the World Wide Web.
Wow.
So yeah. We were doing really cutting edge stuff, right?
Yeah, really.
Mm-hmm. And right after that, the World Wide Web Consortium was created and was given its home at MIT in Laboratory for Computer Science, which is where I was, right?
Right, right on.
So I found myself becoming one of the people that was building the internet.
You were,
which was pretty
in
cool.
In the brand new field, right?
Yes, in this brand new field. Now, to be fair, I was not the only person. There were thousands of people involved with this project, right?
Okay.
So it's not like I wrote the entire web myself. No, I was a small cog in a big wheel. But I was there at the headquarters of the World Wide Web Consortium in 1994 when it all started.
Wow. And how thrilling.
So when the internet went mainstream, I was like, wow, this is perfect. It was really, I thought, the gold rush of my lifetime.
Wow.
And I figured, heck, I'll move to California, recruit my best friend. We'll start an internet company, work really hard for a couple of years, make millions of dollars, and then by the time we're 30, we'll be retired to some tropical island, spending our days hot tubbing with supermodels. So,
or going off to the moon, right? With Elon Musk or something, to Mars.
Yeah, yeah. So that was the plan, at least back in the 90s, right? Mm-hmm. So, but it didn't work out that way. Though at first we did great. It was pretty amazing to me that when I was on a break from grad school, we walked into the Chiat Day advertising agency, right? Me and Josh were both, 24, 25 years old? And we pitched them, and we got the account to build the website for the launch of the Sony PlayStation.
Wow, really? That's a really
Isn't
big
that
step,
amazing,
eh?
Right?
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, it was a huge project, right? So it put us on the map overnight. So long story short, the first year went great. I drove out to California. We started the company. We did the website for the launch of the Sony PlayStation. That really put us on the map. We did the website for the launch of the Disneyland website. We did the website for Nissan Motors. I mean, we're doing all this really high-profile work for these huge companies. And I had 15 people working for me.
Wow, really?
And we were so excited, we actually started a second company, a second startup, to be an online game studio to build online games using the technology I had created in grad school for the internet. So it was a really exciting time. And I really thought things were going to work out great. But you may have heard that there's an old joke that goes something like this. What's the best way to make God laugh?
I don't know. I haven't heard it.
Tell him your plans. So that was my plan, was, you know, work really hard, make millions of dollars, hot tub with supermodels, right?
Yeah.
Instead, what happened was I wanted to be successful more than anything. I was driven, ambitious, young, eager, right? And so I was at my desk working around the clock because I was bootstrapping two startups right at the start of the internet boom.
Wow.
And one startup is enough to kill most people. I was doing two.
And was money coming along with it, or are you also really?
Well, the money was not coming yet.
Mm-hmm.
Not yet, but I thought it was, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I, long story short, I destroyed my body.
Wow.
With overwork.
Wow.
And I started to go, at first I wasn't too worried because I figure, well, I'll go to the doctor, they'll give me something, I'll be fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because up to that point in my life, that's how it always worked, right?
Sure, yeah.
Got something wrong, you go to the doctor, they give you something, you'll be fine in a week, right?
Get a pill, well, get some drugs.
Sure, do something to me. Give me a shot, give me a prescription, right? And I'll be fine. But 3 years later, I wasn't fine. I was getting worse and worse and worse. And after 3 years of intensive physical therapy, the last year I was actually at the Curlin Job Clinic. Which is the for those not in the know, that is the top physical therapy clinic in the Western United States.
Wow.
And that's where all the Olympians and the professional athletes go if they need surgery or rehab.
Because right? They can count on it, right?
That's
tell
right,
tell me something that I'm not clear about. Like, what exactly happened to your body? Did you get did you break something? Did you tear things?
No, it wasn't just one thing, it was several things.
Okay.
And this is why it was so difficult. If it was one thing, then a doctor or an acupuncturist would have knocked this out decades ago, but it wasn't.
Okay.
The obvious one was repetitive stress injuries from overwork.
Okay.
So I had carpal tunnel syndrome, thoracic outlet syndrome, bursitis, fasciitis, all sorts of itises and syndromes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So much so I used to joke that I had itis syndrome.
Inflammation.
I had so many itises and syndromes, right?
Wow.
But really, the doctors didn't know what was wrong. All they saw was that I had a lot of inflammation, a lot of pain, right? And so that's what they were treating. But there were a couple of reasons it didn't work. One was I had contracted Lyme disease on a camping trip when I was at MIT.
Oh, my God, really?
And I had no idea because I grew up on the West Coast. I was not Lyme aware at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember coming back from the trip, and I thought I had this huge mosquito bite on my leg that had like the bullseye pattern.
Mm.
And I had no idea. So I had contracted Lyme disease. So I had chronic Lyme, and that was a big part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
These are all things I discovered years later, right? Much later.
Mm-hmm.
I was suffering from chemical poisoning from aspartame.
Oh, wow.
Because
really?
When I was in high school and during my time at MIT, I was a Diet Coke addict, thinking, gee, I'll be really smart. I'll drink diet soda so I don't get fat and I won't rot my teeth.
Well, right? I'm glad. Hey, you know something, Brent? I'm really glad you're talking about that. People need to hear that, right?
Yeah. So. And of course, the way I would put it is aspartame, I think, is dangerous like cigarettes, in that some people can drink 6 Diet Cokes every day and live to 100. Others, you may start drinking diet soda and a year later you get cancer. So it's kind of a crapshoot to just know that it is illegal in almost everywhere in the world, except the United States, for important reasons. It's bad stuff. It literally destroys your brain and nervous system.
Wow.
It was originally developed. A lot of people don't know this. Aspartame was originally developed by a chemical weapons laboratory.
Oh, you're kidding. Wow.
No joke. And they were looking for chemicals to create chemical weapons to kill people on battlefields.
Wow.
Now, of course, the government would say, well, we're doing it to research antidotes to the weapons the other guys will use, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. But anyhow, it was found that they created this new chemical. And found that it was incredibly sweet. Wasn't what they were looking for. They were looking to create something that would kill people.
Jeez Louise.
So
huh?
they found both. Something that will kill people slowly and be really sweet. We call it aspartame or NutraSweet, right? Now,
yeah.
I'm not here to be on a crusade against NutraSweet. I'm just saying that was part of why I had so much pain. And the best doctors and therapists in the world could do nothing with it.
Wow.
And so I also, again, didn't know this till years later. I was born with autism. I didn't get diagnosed properly till I was in my 40s.
Wow. Well, they didn't do that much then, did they?
So if you look at all that, that's why I couldn't get better.
Mm-hmm.
And so after 3 years of intensive therapy, I finally got approved to see the head doctor at Curly Joe.
Okay.
And I was really excited. I thought, finally, right? This guy will know what to do. He'll give me surgery or therapy, but this will work and I'm going to get my life back, right?
Right.
And I was so excited. I was looking forward to it. like I look forward to getting my driver's license when I was 16. I was like putting X's on the calendar, right? And so I go to see him, and he's this kind of stately, at least older gentleman to me. At the time, I was in my 20s, right? Seemed older. And he's looking at my files, and he's like, oh, come in, Mr. Phillips. And he looks for a minute, and he thinks, and he just looks at me and says, well, I'm sorry, son, but there's nothing I or any doctor can do to help you.
Oh.
You're always going to be in a lot of pain, and you'll never be able to get back to work.
Wow.
And I was so stunned, I couldn't even speak. I was just like, what? That's not what I expected. I came in here expecting an answer, a solution, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, basically, well, I'm going to do you a favor, son. I'm going to recommend you for lifetime disability now so you can get used to it.
Hmm. Oh,
and
Lord.
Here's the last thing
what
he said before I left his office.
Yeah. Go ahead.
This is what he said. He said, tell me, son, is there someone that can take care of you until you die?
Oof.
He asked me that. I was 27 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
And he said, I'm going to put you on lifetime disability, and I hope you can find someone to take care of you until you die.
Hmm. Well, you know,
this is
a sidebar, but you're reminding me how so many people had Lyme's disease, which for decades was undiagnosed, and they were absolutely mm-hmm. debilitated. So you kind of came onto that thing.
Yeah. And part of it was I have lived almost my whole life in Southern California, except for the years I was at MIT.
Mm.
All the doctors I was seeing in the 90s were all in Southern California.
Hmm.
Most of them were not Lyme aware.
Wow.
Why? There's very little Lyme disease in Southern California.
Right.
There's some in Northern California, what they call West Coast Lyme, and it's all over New England, right? That's where I got it.
Wow.
So, but because I was in the wrong part of the country, they didn't think to look for it.
Hmm.
It wasn't my Lyme disease didn't get caught till 2009.
Wow.
Right. It took a long time before I finally had he was an alternative health practitioner, but he spent 3 hours with me. And at the end, he goes, Brent, I know what's wrong. You have East Coast Lyme, don't you? Did you ever live there? I'm like, yeah, I was there for college and grad school, right? So long story short, I was devastated. Mm-hmm. I went to tell my best friend. I figured he'd be all, hey, Brent, hang in there. I got your back, right? Because we were lifelong best friends. We were close like brothers.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
A lot of people thought we were either brothers or gay lovers. Because I was at MIT for, what, 6.5, almost 7 years? We talked on the phone almost every day.
Wow.
So we had a really unusually close relationship for young men living on opposite sides of the country, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we were just thick as thieves. And I figured he'd always have my back. But he didn't. He was like, sorry, Brent, if you can't work, you're of no use to us.
Wow.
So I was fired from my position at the companies I had founded, mm-hmm. right? It turns out he had played a bunch of legal games to steal them from me.
Wow.
And I learned out why he had been secretly dating the woman I was crazy in love with.
Oh, wow. So right. There wasn't much left in your belief structure to put up with.
Nope.
Yeah.
Shrapnel. So long story short, I ended up living with my parents. Because I couldn't work. I had no money other than a small amount of disability.
Mm-hmm.
I had lost my, not one, but two multimillion-dollar companies.
Wow.
One of them, he turned or sold for multiple millions of dollars and told me to go F myself. And I sued him twice and a lot of money spent on lawyers and all that, right?
Did you get anything back from that?
I got back about 5% of what I was owed.
Hmm.
So about 5%. You know, I should have been looking at over $1 million. I got a lot less than that. It was about 5%. Wasn't even close to the amount of salary I had given up to work for them for 3 years, right?
Wow.
Because I was offered like $99,000 from Oracle, like in 1993.
Wow.
I could have taken that job and gotten rich on stock options, right?
Well, so you've actually turned yourself around in a huge way. Let's get to that part. It's kind of enticing.
Yeah, I was broke. I was desperate. I thought my
lonely,
life was over.
Hello?
Yeah, lonely. Yeah, I'd lost my best friend. I'd lost the woman I was in love with. I'd lost my companies, my money, my future, my health. It was a nightmare.
Hmm.
But then I got turned on to positive thinking and alternative medicine. And that was really important because it gave me hope.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, hey, maybe this can help me, right? So long story short, I spent 5 years running around, surviving on disability, going deep into debt, doing every kind of alternative treatment I could.
Mm.
Now I go on for hours about the things I did, right? Nothing worked. I got worse. So I ended up agreeing to be part of a research project where they were doing an experimental elbow surgery on people that had pain like mine. And I was accepted into the program, and I had the surgery. And instead of making me better, I woke up with my right arm paralyzed.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, oh, God, how could it get worse, right?
Mm-hmm. Don't ever ask that question.
yeah, I've learned. You don't ask. The universe always has an answer, right?
Yeah.
So for about the next 6 months or so, I ran around doing all these things trying to get my arm to move, right? And eventually I met this crazy healer lady named Terry.
Okay.
And she was like, oh, yeah, Brent, I can take care of that. No problem, right?
Bless Terry. Bless Terry.
Yeah, and I was so skeptical. I'm like, whatever, lady, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to do it, but my Aunt Lauren offered to loan me the money for a session. She's like, Brent, I think you should do this. I'll loan you the money at no interest. Pay me back at any point. And I was like, all right. Those are terms I can agree to, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I had the session, and Terry spent an hour doing this weird block clearing thing with me and asking me all these questions. And I'm like, hey, lady, it's all well and good to talk about your feelings, but I'm here because I can't move my arm, right? I'm not here to kumbaya and talk to guardian angels. I got a serious physical problem here, right? And so we had the session. And at the end, she kind of closed her eyes, said, we're going to do a healing. And she went into a trance. And about a minute into it, there was this loud pop.
Whoa.
It sounded like a little firecracker went off inside my elbow. It was almost like someone had fired a gun on the other side of the room, right?
Wow, isn't that wonderful?
It was this like crack, kaboom. It was like a high-pitched click followed by this really loud crunch, right? And I have no idea what actually happened to my body. It just was loud as heck, right?
And did your body feel different, though? It did, didn't it?
It did, because Terry opened her eyes and she said, okay, dear, let's use your arm now. And I was like, yeah, whatever, lady. And I went to move my arm and I was like, oh, my God, I could move my arm again. And at the time, I had no idea what had happened, right? But I knew something had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, I'm like, lady, I have no idea what you just did, but please, can you teach me this?
Good for
and
you.
That's how this very much left-brained, nerdy, scientific MIT engineer type experienced a miracle and became a healer and a spiritual teacher.
Wow.
That's a common story. You hear that all the time, right?
I know. Yeah, we've all had our own version of it, but this is a fairly dramatic little jobby. But sometimes when everything breaks is really, and you know this, when everything breaks, including your love life, you're really destined for some kind of big expansion, something big that doesn't make sense.
Absolutely correct. I just didn't know that at the time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and the book is called The Formula for Miracles.
That's
and
right.
I'm going, yeah, over and over we learn about, you know, people having loss and then suddenly they're brilliant and they're beyond the normal person. Probably took you a few years, huh?
A lot longer than I would have thought. And because here's what happened. It wasn't like I did 1 hour with Terry and then my life was perfect and I lived happily ever after.
Oh,
right?
Darn. That would have been better.
that only happens in movies, in case you didn't know. Right? That's not real life. Right.
Right.
You see the hero marry the princess and they ride off into the sunset. Well, that's nice. I'd like to see them in 10 years when they got 3 kids. Right.
Yeah.
So anyhow, one thing that happened to me was this, that when I first had this miracle with Terry, I had great confidence that learning energy healing should be a piece of cake for me.
Right.
Why? I had really, really impressive, almost stratospheric academic credentials. I mean, I was, of course, high school valedictorian. I was a National Merit Scholar, not a semifinalist, but I won it, right? I was one of the winners.
Wow.
I had all sorts of honors and awards at MIT. I graduated with a perfect 5.0 GPA. Through undergrad and grad school, never got less than an A at MIT. And I mean, I could go on and on, right?
And you enjoyed it. Did you enjoy doing it?
I did. It's weird to say. MIT was, on one hand, the most pressure-filled and most difficult thing I've ever done. But on the other hand, it's weird. I look back, I think those might have been some of the happiest years of my life.
Wow, really?
Because I was in a community of people like me.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, if you
and you're all being productive in your
that's
way.
That's right. Yeah. We were working together doing something meaningful. right? We really thought what we were doing was going to change the world in a positive way.
Wow, that's great.
But I went to learn healing and I couldn't do it at all. I was the worst. At the first class I went to with Terry, there was close to 100 people there, right? Big conference room near a hotel. And I was dead last, guaranteed, right? If you had given us a final exam, I would have gotten almost a zero. And I couldn't do it at all. And here's why. I was so deep in my head, I couldn't feel energy or consciousness at all. And I was, MIT put me so deep in my head, I didn't even know I was deep in my head, right? It'd be like a blind person who doesn't realize that other people can see.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
I have a similar story where I went to
one channeling workshop, and I'm a pretty good channeler, but I was the only one who couldn't get it. And the teacher came up and said, "You have more of that energy than anybody else here, so don't give up." And that's really good. Yeah.
So I didn't give up, fortunately, because I had Terry and my aunt encouraging me. Mm-hmm. But here's what I realized, that I wasn't going to learn it the same way other people did. I was too much in my head, right?
Right, yeah.
So I said, what can I do? So I said, well, I still have a stratospheric IQ and world-class background in science and engineering. Maybe that will help here, right? So I decided, I took a totally different approach. I decided I was going to reverse engineer the masters.
Wow, what a smart thing.
Yep. And so when I started it, I thought it might take me 6 months. It took 10 years, in case you're wondering.
Wow.
Right. Took 10 years. I thought 6 months, took 10 years. These things happen, right? And basically starting with Terry, I went around and worked with some incredibly talented people.
Great.
Different masters and gurus and, you know, intuitives and shamans and mystics and such, right?
That's kind of a wonderful road.
It was a fascinating journey. It took a long time.
And it was non-linear. You can't do it in a linear style.
Yeah, it was totally non-linear.
Which
right?
is good for your little brain, which needed to...
That's right. Yeah, which was good for me.
Yeah.
And so I went around and I little by little, I figured out a lot of what they were doing. And I was able to break it down. And that's essentially what they taught me at MIT, is when you have something... You want to replicate it. You figure out how it works, take it apart, right? Then put it back together and then make it better.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what they taught me, right? That's what engineers do. And so
let me ask you one more question about that. Mm-hmm. Is that you would be the master of electronics at this point, right? Didn't that give your body some sense of having the alphabet or the knowing within?
I think it did, yeah. It's kind of hard to separate now, looking back 20 some years at what happened, but I think you're on the right track.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's just an interesting cogitation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it took me 10 years and I figured it out. And that became the basis of what today we call the formula for miracles.
Great.
Which is basically, how do you create a healing? I'll show you how. That, first of all, I want to be honest with everyone. This is not a magic wand that's going to make your life exactly the way you want it overnight.
Oh, gall darn it.
Right? So if that's what you're looking for, you know, keep looking. You're never going to find it, but best of luck, right? You know, it's like imagine someone seeing Don Quixote come through town chasing windmills. It's like, all right, dude, more power to you. It's not going to work, but all right, if this floats your boat, go for it, right? So what happened was, when I was able to figure out these little pieces, I was able to create a process that anybody could use regardless of your talent or experience.
Great.
And that was really important, because when I went on this journey to all these great master teachers, here's what I found. That first, there really are some amazing people in this world who have some pretty incredible talents and abilities.
Mm-hmm. And great integrity and great love.
Yeah, there are really some amazing people that can do some really wonderful things. But for almost all of them, it was some kind of gift or talent.
Mm-hmm.
That for the most part, these great mystics and shamans and gurus could do wonderful things, but they didn't really understand what it is they were doing or how it worked. And for that reason, they couldn't teach their students to be on the same level as them.
So you're a miracle engineer is what you are.
Yes. So I am. Yes. And that is actually one of the slides you'll see if you come to one of my live webinars. Mm-hmm. You know, it says people call me the miracle engineer.
Oh, it makes so much sense. I didn't know that till this moment, but I went, whoa, this is how to do it.
And so, again, it's not a magic wand that's going to make your life perfect. But I think you'll be amazed at how much it can do. So for me, first thing it did was heal my elbow, right? In that first session with Terry.
Wow.
Then it cleared all sorts of blocks on me. So I was able to make money to get out of pain, to get out and start dating again after, you know, my heart was broken, went through a divorce. It was this whole nasty thing. And after working with Terry and using these tools, I was able to get back out there.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a few false starts, but that happens with dating, right?
Oh, yeah. And you have to have that as trial and error and practice and refining. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most of us go through that.
Yeah.
But
that's
I was
part
able
of
to find
the game.
Love. Oh, yeah, to start a family, which was really surprising.
Aww.
Because I had been told by doctors more than once that I was likely infertile. Because of all this stuff, you know, Lyme disease and the chemical poisoning and the pain and childhood illness and all this. They're like, yeah, Brent, don't worry too much about birth control. You know, it's unlikely I'll ever be able to have kids. And then, boom, you know, met JJ, fell in love, got married, she got pregnant, and we have a family.
Aww.
So this is, and, you know, I'm not like some billionaire, right? But I want everyone to know that this can make a huge difference with your career and money, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not as much it'll just give you more money. It will do that.
Or would it just increase the flow? Just make sure there's a flow?
What it will do is it will change your mentality in relationship to money.
Oh, good.
So you're not so stressed and worried about it all the time. Because one of the many things I went through that we didn't even cover much till now was when I went through my bankruptcy.
Oh, really?
But that nearly killed me.
Wow.
From the stress, and I was so depressed and angry and suicidal.
And that would be very humiliating at that point when everything else had been ripped
That's
away.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But here's the advice I would give to people. What I was looking for was some tool that would change me so I could just make more money.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because I thought I was worried about money because I didn't have enough of it.
Okay.
That was incorrect. That was wrong. What I've learned is these tools can help you to change your relationship to money. And when you do that, almost always you get a lot more of it.
Ah, that's wonderful.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes incredible sense.
Shifting your mentality. And again, this is not some law of attraction nonsense like The Secret that says, oh, if you just make a vision board, you'll be a millionaire next week. It's like, no, that's nonsense, right?
Yeah.
It's usually not that simple.
Mm-hmm.
But you really can learn to find out where you're hung up and make shifts, and then you'll think differently. Things affect you differently.
Well, I want to just say one little thing. I've learned through the years that we live in cages of beliefs. And once we get hold of that, you know, and you've got here, the first thing is achieving a conscious theta brainwave. Do you
want
to tell people what that is and how on earth can I do that? I need to know that, Brent.
Yeah. So let me give a little bit of context.
Sure, please.
Let me put this in the context of, okay, Brent, you said that the typical, like the secret law of attraction doesn't work. What does? Right? So if that doesn't work, what does work? So here's your answer. The typical positive thinking you hear is a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
But it's insufficient, mainly because it does not involve the subconscious mind.
Okay.
Right? That your typical law of attraction is all about focus on the positives, make a vision board, join a mastermind, shout out that you're a millionaire, whatever, right? Now, those are actually all good things to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are full of subconscious blocks, they're worthless.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in order to really activate your power, we have to learn to work with the subconscious.
Right.
It's like saying, if you want to go 100 miles an hour, you really need to learn to drive or pilot a vehicle. Why? A human being cannot run 100 miles an hour. Right? Nothing personal. None of us have even come close. There's not even an animal that can run 100 miles an hour. I think cheetahs top out around 70.
Yeah.
So it would be asking for something that's essentially impossible, right?
Yeah.
So using the law of attraction for most people to make money, to heal your body, to bring you love, to fix your life, it is almost an impossible goal, like asking someone to run 100 miles an hour, right? But
well, it's a contradiction in your heart, placing your heart
yeah,
in.
Yeah, it is. But if we can engage the subconscious and work with it too, that's like getting in a car. Can you do 100 miles an hour in a car? Sure, you might need a little bit of training. But it's not a hard thing, is it?
No.
So the thing we need to do, the big, most obvious block is the subconscious. So in order to have success with energy healing, with manifesting, with intuition, with all these things, we need to clear out the subconscious blocks first. So how do we do that? Well, this is where the theta wave comes in. That part of the research I did on all these masters, one thing I found was that there's a strong correlation between these phenomena and what's called the waking theta brain state.
Okay.
Which is really interesting. And this wasn't just me. I was inspired by the research done at Stanford back in the 60s and 70s for the government. They actually did government-sponsored research at Stanford on things like remote viewing.
Yes, I remember stories about that. Yeah.
There was the movie that came out with George Clooney, The Men Who Stare at Goats.
I know, I saw that. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, that was one piece of it, right? And they had found this decades ago. They go, there's a strong correlation between the theta brain state and these phenomena. And so why is the theta state important? Why should you care? Here's why. The theta wave state is the magical key that unlocks the subconscious mind.
Okay.
That's why it's important. And so if you're, for example, doing a law of attraction process to bring something into your life, if you're not using a theta state, you're wasting your time. The universe cannot hear you. Shout as loud as you like. The universe will not hear you.
Well, did it take you quite a while to learn how?
Not really. That was actually one of the easier pieces, because that's something I learned from Terry, my first teacher. She showed me a process to get into the theta state that for most people takes maybe 30 seconds the first time you do it. And as you do it more and more, it just gets faster and faster, to where someone with a little bit of practice can do it in under a second. And by getting into the theta wave state when we're awake and conscious, that opens up the subconscious. That allows us to go in and start working with it. And that's so key because, again, most of the obstacles are in the subconscious. But most of us run around in your normal waking state, what's called the beta state. And when you're in the beta state, your subconscious is locked up in a bank vault. You cannot get to it, right? And we need to open that vault to make the changes to shift your life. The theta wave is the key that opens the vault.
It
unlocks this really powerful part of you and essentially gives you the source code to your life. And it's such a beautiful thing because some people will sometimes ask me, hey, Brent, are you a Windows person or a Mac person, right? Do you want to take a guess?
Mac?
Okay, the answer is neither. I'm a Unix person, thank you.
Oh.
I think Windows and Mac are both garbage, right? I mean,
really?
Because you have, right. But I'm a hardcore computer guy in the old days. We all used Unix. And here's the cool thing about Unix. That's the operating system that all the servers are built on, right?
Okay.
And if you're not already like a 10 out of 10 nerd, don't even bother, right? It's like hardcore nerd stuff, right? And but in a Unix system, as a general principle, you always get all the source code to the programs you run.
Oh.
Especially in the Linux world. I mean, it's not 100%, but that's generally how it works, right? And I loved it when I was in software, because if the program doesn't do exactly what you want, you can just go change it. Because you have all the code. It's right there, right? And so you can make your programs do anything you want. You're not stuck with what they're giving you. And I want everyone to see this is what I'm offering to everyone. Most people think we're stuck with the programs we were born with or got from our parents. You're not. You can change it, but you need the source code first, right?
Yeah.
If you don't have the source code, you can't change the program. And the theta state opens the source code to you. It allows you to reprogram the codes in the subconscious that literally create your life. And this is why it can create miracles. But again, this is not a magic wand that's going to make your life perfect overnight, right?
Oh, darn.
Yeah, darn. But you will see miracles happen. And I think everyone will be amazed at how frequently they show up. I mean, I'm getting close to miracle number 2000.
Oh,
I think
wow. Like good for you. You're keeping track, are you?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm at like 1972 or something. I'm sure, not the year, but the number, right?
Oh, wow. Wonderful.
Yeah, I should hit 2,000 miracles this summer. But, you know, miracles with clients is kind of like hitting home runs in baseball. There'll be some days you have 3 or 4, and other times you go 4 weeks with nothing, right? it's nonlinear in that sense. It's not perfect. But I'm really proud of that because here's the point. You might have 1 or 2 or 3 great results just by coincidence, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, you worked on someone, and the next day they fell in love. Okay, maybe that's a coincidence. Maybe it's not. But when it happens 2,000 times, that's not a coincidence.
Right. Right? You've got the pattern. You've got it going. Right. Yeah.
It'd be like if someone won the lottery every week for 3 years. Be like, hello, they're cheating, right? Nobody can guess the lottery numbers every week for 3 years.
No.
Clearly, they're cheating or something's going on, right?
Right. Do you play the lottery with Theta?
I don't. I have in the past. Terry and I actually, like 20 years ago when I was first getting into this, we actually did a little contest where we both played the lottery 10 draws in a row, and we both did manifestations and block clearing to support it.
How'd you
do? It was amazing. I bought 10 tickets and won a total of $12. So I actually made a 20% profit on my lottery experiment. Now, figuring down the amount of time and energy that went into it, I was making way less than minimum wage, right?
But I want to ask you a cheeky question. If this really works, why was that such a small success?
That's a good question. Yeah. It's because life doesn't work the way everyone thinks it does.
Mm-hmm.
So let me put it this way. If life worked the way everyone thinks it does, someone like me should be able to go down to a casino in Las Vegas and clean them out. But life doesn't work the way you think. That everything is happening through us. We are the delivery vehicle, not the source of the order.
Well, I want to ask you another question before we go into the other points, which is, Do you think that you have, or are we all to assume we do have a purpose? So some things won't work for us and some things will. And yes. we have to learn how to steer the ship.
That's right. And I actually have a whole masterclass called Lotteries, Gambling, and the Law of Attraction.
Oh, okay.
Which breaks this down. And if I could explain it in 2 minutes, I would. I can't. It takes about an hour.
We don't have an hour, but you're worth listening to. Sure.
Basically, it breaks down. It will answer your question pretty thoroughly, why it can and why it can't work, and the best way to go about it.
Okay.
The short answer is life doesn't work the way you think it does, right?
Right.
Right. People will say, oh, can't you use, you know, muscle testing to cheat a card? It's like you could try, but it just doesn't work that way. So we'll fail.
Mm-hmm.
The universe doesn't really like us showing off in that sense. But you ask a great question about the purpose. And so here's the thing. A lot of people like to think they're awake. Right.
Right.
And I want to just say, when I say awakening, it has nothing to do with being woke or any of that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It refers to a very, very specific spiritual insight, which is the nature of the self. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I want to offer to people. That this awakening is the beginning of the end of suffering. It is the foot in the door to enlightenment. And that's why it's called Awakening Dynamics, right? That's what I call my system.
I love that.
Because the awakening comes first. That's the spiritual piece, right?
Mm-hmm.
The dynamics are all the metaphysics, the techniques and tools you learn to support it. So that the dynamics would be instant healings, block clearing, intuitive readings, manifesting, space clearing, stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the dynamics. That's the metaphysical. The awakening is the spiritual.
And does it usually come through what I call the nervous breakthrough?
It usually does, yes. Mm-hmm. Why? We have to be desperate to let go of what we think we know, right?
Yeah, we get broken into it, don't we?
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so here's what I want everyone to know. If you are not already 100% crystal clear on what you are and what your purpose is, then you still have some room for improvement in terms of awakening. That's okay. It's not meant as a criticism. It's just you're not there yet, right? Right. It'd be like if you can't make a free throw, you're not ready to go on the high school basketball team, right? Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you're a bad person, just means you need to work on it, right?
Mm-hmm. So, but isn't there an infinite process as well?
That's a great question. Whether it's infinite or finite and absurdly big, we'll never know, will we?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
I'm not sure. It's very difficult mathematically to prove things are finite or infinite. I mean, we don't even know if our own universe is finite or infinite. Did you know that?
Yeah, or whether it's just an illusion.
We have no idea how big it is. Mm-hmm. Not only that, we don't even know if it's finite or infinite. And we've been living in the same universe for all of human history, right?
Yeah, but reading in your book, Brent is talking about that it's how we see, and everything we see is coming from inside of us and so on.
That's right. So,
but that could be infinite, couldn't it?
Yep, it could. So to help people find your purpose, here's the clue I want to give. One is this. You cannot find your purpose until you know exactly what you are.
Oh, okay. Very good.
That seems obvious, but it's one of the biggest mistakes we all make. Imagine if I went to the bank and I said, how much money is in my account? They're like, sure, we'll help you. Who are you? What's your bank account? And I'm like, I don't know. They'd be like, sorry, sir, but we can't tell you how much money is in your account unless you tell us which account is yours. Who are you, right?
Good one.
Most of us have spent our whole lives, we really have no idea what we are. And we never stop to think about it. We assume we know. That's the whole point of awakening, is to shine a light. What are you? What is consciousness? What is the spark of life? That clearly there's something different going on in your brain or my brain than in a rock or a plant, huh? What's going on? What's the difference? That's awakening. Mm-hmm. And here's the good news. Once you understand what you are, your purpose will be so obvious, you will fall on the floor and laugh.
Great.
Because it's been there right there the whole time. You just couldn't see it because you were looking for the wrong thing. It was, you may have heard this, the story about how when the Spanish with Columbus first came to the Americas.
Yeah, with you.
Many of the native islanders literally could not see their ships.
I know. I remember that story. It's a great story. Tell people.
It is because to the native islanders, they had nothing in their context that made them understand what a giant sailing ship was. Because some of those Spanish galleons, they were like 800 feet long, right?
Right.
They're enormous. That all the natives had were little canoes they used to go from island to island.
Right.
So when this huge Spanish sailing ship shows up, it was 100 feet offshore and they could not see it.
Isn't that interesting, huh? Well, yeah, okay, but so going back to what you wrote about quantum, the quantum, and about things change according to how we're looking, especially if it's a small particle, is how who's looking at it and how?
Yep.
Am I out to lunch?
You're on the right track.
Okay.
And here's the thing. Here's how most people think about the world. We think that we're just this human, a man or a woman, going about our business, and all these other people are doing all these other things, and things just kind of happen to us, right? And we just deal with the world that shows up the best we can. That's how most of us think. That's not what's really happening. Every single time you put your attention or awareness on something, you are changing it.
Okay.
So the way you use your attention and awareness has a huge impact on how your life shows up. Mm-hmm. And this is not just some new age teaching. This is science. This is physics. Mm-hmm. And in the weekend trainings I do, I walk everyone through the science of healing step by step.
That's
so
great.
So you can really understand this. But just know that the way, again, the way things really work is different than what we think, right? Mm-hmm.
Actually, one of the things as a counselor, I'm always saying to people, you got to remember that how you look at people has a huge impact on them.
And it does.
It's a little related to what, you know, what you're talking about. And it's more powerful than we realize, isn't it?
Yeah. So how you relate to your environment, how you think about things, where you put your attention has a huge impact on what happens in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we don't realize how powerful we are. And, you know, I really used to think that what I believed didn't matter. I thought that there was just facts and truth, a world happening according to the laws of the universe, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, you know, if there's a Dodger game tonight, does who I want to win matter at all? I would say no. But metaphysically, it does.
It does.
Because we're all one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And metaphysically, our beliefs are the single most important thing that determines how our life works out. So yes, we but most people don't know this. And I used to think I was so smart because I had the, you know, I have an IQ higher than Einstein, right? All these awards. I didn't just go to MIT. I crushed MIT, right?
Mm-hmm.
I left it a smoking wreck. Now, if there was a harder school, I would have gone there, right? And but I thought I was so smart. And I was totally wrong about the most important things in life, right? I could have talked about the properties of transistors at different, you know, voltages, or I could talk about different algorithms for virtual memory, but I had no idea what I was or how my life worked.
But isn't it interesting, because your soul journey, your purpose demanded, and you listened to it, taught you to go and break apart so that you'd have to find that, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of intelligence that we need sometimes.
Yeah. And, you know, for anybody that would like to learn more, what I would say is, don't believe anything I'm saying just because I say it. I want you to have your own experience. Just give it a shot.
Well, and you better tell people how to get to your classes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And so anyone that wants to learn more, the best thing is just hop onto my website at awakeningdynamics.com. That's awakeningdynamics.com. And you should see a little button that says save my seat. Just click that. That'll bring up the free registration for my next live Healathon webinar. Make sure you want to get on that. Because in the Healathon, I'm going to walk everybody through all 7 of the sacred tools of higher dimensional living.
Great.
And do interactive processes so you can experience it for yourself. And this is new and it's different. And this is real. This really works. But don't take my word for it. Come to the live webinar, experience it, and make your own decision.
And so it's actually in present time. What I mean is you have to be there, or is it online?
Yes. Yeah, they're online, but they're all live.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So you don't have to travel, right? It lives in your computer or your phone, right? But it's a live session, because there's certain things with the energy I just can't do on recordings.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage everyone, come to the webinar. I will blow your mind. And if you don't like it, that's okay. I'm not for everybody. I'm really intense. I work fast paced. I'm all about results and truth and facts.
Mm-hmm.
If you want someone to just give you a hug and tell you it's going to be okay, don't come to me. I'm too expensive for that.
But it's funny because there's
you're ready for real progress.
Blow your mind is actually a really good phrase when you think about it. Get your mind out of the way. Break it open.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah, that's great.
But yeah, you know, for those that are curious, if we can reach just one person here together and give them what they need to change their life, it's totally worth it, huh?
Isn't it exciting? Because I think the evolution is possible for all of us. Conscious evolution, don't you think?
Yep, absolutely. And again, anyone that wants to learn more, just head over to awakeningdynamics.com. You know, there's links to my YouTube channel. There's links to a spiritual power quiz to identify your hidden spiritual power. There's a lot of cool stuff there. Just make sure you get on the Healathon first, because that's the one that's going to rocket ship you to the moon.
And you're inspiring, because you look like you're having a lot of fun with it, even though it's very intense and really helping the world.
Yeah, I like to think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gosh. And it's, you know, it's I look back on my life and I go, oh, my God, it would have been so easy for me to blow off Terry and never go.
Isn't that something?
It would have been the easiest thing in the world, and I never would have known what I would have missed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I say to everyone. You know, I know a lot of people sign up for webinars that don't attend. This is one you want to show up for, because
like
if you don't,
idea.
you'll never have any idea how much you're missing out on. So give it a shot. If I'm not for you, that's okay. Not everyone is. I don't want to work with everyone, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I only want to work with people that are going to get great results from working with me. So there you go.
But you're inspiring, Brent. You are inspiring.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Awakeningdynamics.com.
A quick question. Is your child into this sort of thing?
He's starting to get curious. He's 11.
Oh, he's 11. Okay.
So,
pretty soon.
Yeah, he's just 11. But Yeah, I say in a couple of years, I think around 13, he'll be ready for it.
Okay. How fun it is.
But this
to teach
is great
kids.
For kids. Yeah. It's
yeah.
Awesome.
Grow up with yeah. magic. Come on. Yep. Thank you so much, Brent. I want to say your middle name, Brent Michael Phillips. I was going to call you Brent Michaels, but I'm really grateful that you came on to the show. I'm sorry I kept you waiting. And the formula for miracles, I'm really going to study it. So thank you so
awesome.
Much.
It's been great to be here. And I look forward to hopefully seeing you and some of the listeners on my next live Healathon webinar.
I would love that. Yeah. This is Veronica Entwistle saying thanks for tuning into Paradigm Shifters. And may you all be in touch with your real self and healing. Thanks, Brent.
All right, cool. I got to go. Okay. Talk soon. Thank you. Bye.